have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh and Johnny, and we are officially 2 weeks out from the start of basketball season. How are we feeling? Who's ready to talk a little bit of expectations here going into the year?
Oh, Tommy DeVito.
I didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming at all, guys. Yes. We're recording this at the end of our bye week here, the Sunday. And I mean, it's October 23rd, and it's like Illinois still cares about football, which obviously we're not here to talk about football. We're here to talk about basketball. But like, let's just acknowledge that we thought that we'd be in like full basketball mode like a long time ago, and just the fact that we're not is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's really weird to be like actually have to worry about two teams at the same time here. Like, I can't divide my attention, so I'm like trying to get excited about basketball, but it's like, yeah, but we have a chance to win the Big Ten West, you know?
I know.
It's kind of like what I imagine when you have kids, and you have two kids, and you are like, I'm so happy for my one kid who maybe struggles a little more. Like, he's doing so well right now, and that's Illinois football. And you're like putting a little bit of attention away from your golden child, but we're still a ranked basketball team, so we got to start mentally preparing for the grind that is a Big Ten season.
And if my other kid doesn't make it to the Sweet 16 this year, I might send him off to boarding school, but that's besides the point. So this is one of two episodes to kind of kick off our season here. We talked with Tyler Underwood about a week ago. We'll drop that later this week, but we figured the three of us would get together and just talk a little bit of just miscellaneous expectations, X's and O's, non-conference stuff. So I mean, let's kick it off with probably the biggest storyline of the team this year is just the roster turnover. Obviously you lose a lot of guys, a lot more guys come in, whether they're freshmen, transfers. That's gotta be the biggest storyline coming into the first couple weeks of the season is what does the rotation look like? What does it look like with the freshmen? What does it look like with the returning guys with, you know, RJ and Coleman and everyone else returning? That to me is, and probably most fans, is the number one question mark coming into the season.
Yeah, you have your number one player is someone who's never wore orange and blue before, which happens at good universities. You get a five-star commit to come in, or you get some top-rated player that's coming over, and you expect him to be good. But you have Terrence Shannon now. I think that's the number one storyline: is can we trust this guy to deliver in big moments? And I mean, based on all the sounds of it from practices, from just the media hyping him up, it sounds like that we can and should. But until the games get going, I feel like I'm just going to be skeptical of this team this entire time. Not that we're going to be bad. It's just more of like, I want to be able to trust a player. Like, we trusted Io, we trusted Trent, we trusted Kofi. Like, those players are no longer wearing orange and blue. And the people that we have high expectations for that are returning, RJ Coleman, I mean, they never had the spotlight shined on them from this, like, for an entire game where they need to be putting up 15, 20 points, grabbing important rebounds, making the important pass. Like, they've been the spot minute players, their freshman, and then for Coleman, his freshman and sophomore year. So that's why it's just like, it's like kind of worrisome. I would say we have four returning players. Brad had four returning players on that freshman year IO team. And it was like Trent, DeMonte, Aaron Jordan, and Kipper. And that wasn't a good team. So that's why it just makes me like skeptical about it.
Are you comparing? That's where the comparison ends, is that 4-4. Go ahead, Johnny.
No. I'm just saying. It's the same type of concept for you, four returning players.
Yeah, it's just a much deeper roster than,
of course,
Kipper and Aaron Jordan, that sort of stuff. But, I mean, I agree with you. There's a lot of uncertainty with this team, and it's just hard to really, like, visualize it when we haven't seen these players play together. I mean, when we talked to Tyler, he mentioned the product's going to look a little different. They're going to be an up and down a little bit more. And I think we all gravitate towards, oh, we need to have who's going to be the guy. We have a lot of guys who's going to be the guy. It was easy the past couple of years when you had a first team All-American on your team both years, but there are successful teams, Sweet 16 teams, that don't have any All-Americans but have a lot of solid players. And you look down this roster and you see, I don't know, four or five guys who've been in mock drafts of, you can see, like, you've seen Coleman Hawkins as a potential second-round pick. You've seen Terrence Shannon as a potential second-round pick. You've seen Matthew Meyer as a potential second-round pick. I mean, even Sky Clark and Ty Rogers are generating some buzz. And we know RJ Melendez has the opportunity to break out. It's just, it's a lot of what-ifs. And definitely a little nervous because we're 33rd in KenPom. And unfortunately, KenPom does take in, like, he has a lot of data on Terrence and Meyer, maybe not quite as much on someone like RJ Melendez, where you just kind of, it was more of an eye test than him playing a lot last year. But we still don't know if Sky is fully healthy. It sounded like he played well in that secret scrimmage.
See, I feel like there's a lot of stuff flying around. One final stat line had him not playing. Stat line had him playing.
There was a fake one.
Was that the fake one, hopefully?
Yeah, no, the fake one had Brandon Lee with two rebounds, but he shot 9 times and went 0-for-9. So
He needs more attempts.
Yeah. I think if we were giving Brandon Lee 9 shots, then I'm pretty sure that this tweet was very fake. And that was the one that had Sky as the DNP, did not play.
They're lucky Agbaji is no longer there. I mean, otherwise Lee would have posterized him. But I feel like it brings up an interesting, like, philosophical question of, obviously you had All-Americans like Kofi and Ayo being the guys the last couple of years. And it's like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have one go-to All-American, you put the ball in his hands, you know where the ball is going to down the stretch, or would you rather have 2, 3, possibly 4 very good players that you can go to either of them, right? Obviously, we've seen in the last couple of years, and this is not to take away from Kofi or Ayo, that when the opposing team does neutralize Kofi or Ayo, or one of them happens to have an off game because they're human, no one else steps up. And so now, I guess the silver lining of this is, okay, what if you have like 4 guys that can actually step up? Maybe not be all Americans, but can be all Big Ten, all second team Big Ten, all Big Ten defensively, and get you a bucket whenever. And so maybe that takes a little bit of pressure off of the whole hero ball that we've seen Illinois rely on at times the last couple of years.
Yeah, you don't want to have people think, though, at the end of the day, that they're going to be the hero. Like, I could imagine in some universe where you could see Coleman Hawkins being like, I need to put up these three attempts where he probably shouldn't be, and we should make that extra pass. That's just what I'm thinking on and what I'm nervous about for the season. But besides that, my expectations are still very high. Like you mentioned, there's like 4, 5, 6 players that you can see being an important piece for, like, to win games, and having it's just going to take time for them to gel, I guess. That's the only thing, obviously, that everyone's nervous about.
Which is probably been a little bit of a fair criticism, Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, of some of the early in the year Brad teams, where it's like, oh, they don't look fantastic early on. I mean, you look at the UTRGB. Rio Grande. You know, there's always like 1 or 2 games like that early on in the year, and that's normal in college basketball, where you know you have guys in the lineup that you're still experimenting with that end up not getting minutes down the stretch. Obviously, it's going to be very interesting to see where all of the freshmen fall in terms of minutes.
Yeah, and that's what is also a little worrisome, is like, we are getting tested very early. We have 3 gimme games to start the season: Eastern Illinois, UMKC, and Monmouth. But then you're playing UCLA and either Baylor or Virginia, and then you're going to play Syracuse,
Texas,
within the month of November.
And then
you have Texas the first week in December. So, like, you have a lot of games where you're still figuring things out. So we kind of need Brad Underwood to, like, have a more updated timetable of figuring everything out, because those are some of your toughest opponents. And it's even more difficult when, in the past, it's like, okay, yeah, he had 3 years of experience with Ayo, or he had 3 years of experience with Kofi. Now it's this entire new team, and our teams typically start off slow. And you're going to want, come tournament time, to have some of those, like, key non-con wins.
Absolutely. But you did gloss quickly over the fact that we're playing Eastern Illinois, which Brad is 0-1 against in his head coaching career. So I just want to make that clear.
I mean, it wasn't televised.
Eastern Illinois.
It wasn't televised, so I'm not sure we're going to count it. But you know that Brad remembers that game. You know he talked about it in that press conference.
He's going to make sure we blow them out.
Yeah, oh my God, absolutely. I mean, I'm so excited for it to be back. But we can talk, you know, we can be like, all right, what are our expectations? We can be like, all right, they need to finish, you know, this high in the conference, or they need to reach a Sweet 16. I feel like the baseline expectations are probably like your floor is, because I know, Josh, you were referencing some of the CBS writers having us all the way down in like sixth. Some of us having us like first or second. I feel like your floor should be like still double bye in the Big Ten tournament. I feel like top four in the Big Ten is probably fair. That's maybe actually closer to your ceiling right now, just given we don't know. Let's start there. Is that fair, or is that very Homer of me to be like coming off these last couple of years and with
so
all the
turnovers?
Is it Homer of me? Hey, look,
that's
people
so
have us.
Homer.
People have us finishing in the top two in the Big Ten.
No, that's totally fair. But I feel like I'm still thinking about us back in college where we never won, and it's totally different now. We're actually a program now that's respectable. But like getting a double bye in the Big Ten tournament is so hard. I still feel like it would be. I think the floor is like maybe put us in the top half of the conference, like at least eighth. And I know you're going to draw has probably dropped listening to me say this, but like just being the top half of the conference is the floor. And then the ceiling is getting that double bye.
Fine. You are right. And maybe it is a bit of a Homer take of me. Absolutely. Which it wouldn't be a boardroom podcast without a Homer take, which is fine. Yeah. So there's that one. But it's also really hard. You're right. To erase the 4 years that we went to school and then replace that with the last 3 years. And so our brains are just clunked into just thinking of those 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you kind of hope this is really like a program year, and like other years it was okay. You're relying on your stars, whatever. At this point, it's like you're relying on the brand that is Illinois basketball to continue to like attract talent. And even if now in this new universe, it's transfers, it's let's just make the tournament and continue to build the Illinois basketball brand of just being a consistently good team, because that's where our peers are. Like Michigan makes the tournament every year, even in down years. So maybe that's what the floor is just like top half of the Big Ten making the tournament. And then one of these years we're going to have a run where we're a higher seed that actually wins a couple games, because it's a single elimination tournament that breeds chaos. But yeah, you got to at least play for the tournament, given like you still have a very talented roster.
They got people, not me, yeah. People unaffiliated with the university, you know, predicting us to finish top two in the conference. People also, you know, predicting us to finish sixth, you know, KenPom at us at 33, you know. So I completely understand, you know, not completely being painted with orange and blue in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, just maybe be a top 25 team. Like that's, hopefully that's like the 50th, like the median percentile of this team is just being a top 25 team. And you're going to have up years and down years when you have multiple All-Americans or when you just have more of a solid team, but just be that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think that's totally fair. And I love that. Every podcast, every reporter will set their expectations before the season. And I'm going to bring this back to football just because I think this is important. Like we need to enjoy the season as it is and not just think about like what the end will be. Like I'm thinking about like what's going to be success this year for this team. And it's like top half of the conference or making a Sweet 16. But like while we're in this football season, we're 6-1. I want to enjoy every single game as we're playing them, enjoy the wins and take each game like not for granted and just be like, wow, this is actually awesome to pay attention to. And then when we get to the Sweet 16, yeah, then have your whole entire life be like changed once you get there. Because as we're going through this football season, I'm just like, wow, this is so much fun, like to continuously be in every game. And that's kind of how I want to not like think one loss in basketball early in the season is going to ruin our chances when it comes to late March.
Just remember, as fans, we're not allowed to look further into the future more than
we're
one
not.
Game.
We're absolutely not.
Because that somehow has an impact on the players and coaches. So the fact that I referenced Johnny, you referenced UMKC on November 11th, a game that takes place after Eastern Illinois on November 7th. That's already a critical. We're talking about Vegas, UCLA. Yeah. We're talking about Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Which,
oh my God. Like, this is a mistake.
Which you guys are overlooking Quincy on Friday.
That is, yes, we are overlooking the exhibition.
I mean, honestly, the exhibition games hurt us last year. That was like the Curbelo concussion happened.
True. And Brad's not a guy that's like, this is an exhibition. Like, Brad's a guy, it's like, there's another opponent coming to our stadium. Like, prepare for war. So like it's a game. So yes, I apologize. I have been overlooking Quincy a little bit, and yes, that does come before Eastern. And so yes, as fans, we must just look at one game at a time. But you're right. Like, let's enjoy Quincy. Let's enjoy November 7th. Let's enjoy next Saturday at 2:30 on ABC against Nebraska. Like, this is we've been waiting for this for a long time. Like you said, Johnny, this one kid that's can, you know, he's been struggling a little bit more than our golden child. Like, let's encourage him to continue this.
Yeah. But I mean, Josh, I've definitely been victim to being so like caught up in the Big Ten race the past couple of years that it's such like a grind. And you're just like walking on eggshells, looking at the rest of the season, how we have to go 6-2, this and that. It's like, it's a really stressful time. And maybe,
yeah, like we beat Ohio State, and then we have Indiana next. Like, I can't even celebrate this game right now. Like, we just beat a very good team, but I can't celebrate. That's, I'm going to be like that come January, but like, I want to say now my expectations for myself this year is to enjoy each game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the point that Maddie was kind of referencing of, like, it's almost easier to enjoy Illinois football when they're good because it's really, like, house money, and you're just like, oh, yeah, like,
yep,
this is just fun. Like, we don't have expectations about needing to win a Big Ten title, needing to make the Sweet 16.
I mean,
we
now
just
that
wanna,
you
like,
mention
win.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, except now that you mention it, like, Big Ten West
also
need to win their next three games.
There's such a big difference, I feel like, in having a full week in between games versus you look at the schedule. It's like January 13th, January 16th, 19th, 24th, 28th. It's like, it's such a quick turnaround, right? Like, we at least get one, sometimes 2 weeks now to talk about a win over Iowa or over Minnesota, right? So I do feel like naturally college basketball, obviously it's a much more condensed schedule. You know, you're playing like 32 games, so there's less time to like mull it over. So yeah, it is stressful, but like, shit, I'm excited.
Yeah, 100%. And you're reminded of it daily because you're watching other Big Ten teams right. play. So you're like legitimately rooting for and against teams every single night between January and I guess the end of March. So we got to get our endurance up right now, boys. That's why, I mean, the month of November is going to be crazy when we have games in Vegas, Ann Arbor, right around when like the World Cup is happening.
World Cup. Like, oh my God. It's a sports equinox. I know Johnny and I were talking about this like in August, you know, we were on a walk and we're like, dang, like, there's about to be a lot of sports in these next few months. We better enjoy it between college football, college basketball, World Cup, and then obviously for those of you who care about NBA, NHL, and all that fun stuff. So, like, we're about to get into, like, just the absolute depths of it all.
Yeah, like, Illinois plays Lindenwood the same day that USA plays England in soccer, so definitely.
What do you think the viewership comparison will be? Like,
I'll say this right now. I would not give up an Illinois win for a USA soccer win.
Wow, credit to you.
Yeah,
credit to you.
We need to beat the 348th best team in basketball in London.
Who do we play that day? Who does America play that day?
England.
Oh.
Yeah, Black Friday.
Oh, that's right. That's
you brought
that's
up.
A, that's
and
a
then,
day.
And then the next day is Illinois Northwestern football. Like,
that's going to be the weekend of our lives.
Yeah, and that's rivalry in college football. That's
oh, my
Iron
gosh.
Bowl,
Iron Bowl.
Wait. Weekend of our lives. Weekend of our lives is Friday, November 18th, UCLA in Vegas. Then Saturday, we beat Michigan in Ann Arbor to go 10-1. And then we play Virginia or Baylor.
Give me Baylor. I want to play Baylor.
No, actually, the weekend of our lives is Friday, December 2nd. We play at Maryland. Then the Saturday night, we play the Big Ten title game in Indy. And then we play Tuesday at Texas.
How good is it to beat Illinois?
Oh, man. The 20s belong to the Illini. Goodness. Well, so we're talking about all these non-conference. Go ahead, Josh.
Wait, can I bring up Vegas?
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about it? Sorry.
No, you talk about it. Talk about
Oh, I was just gonna bring up. I was just gonna bring up Vegas on how like you can get 10% off your tickets if you go to our link on our Twitter page for both games. So 10% in not one but actually two games, and you use promo code Boardroom.
Is that one or two words?
One word, all caps.
All cap. That's an important detail. I should have.
Boardroom.
But speaking of traveling, our buddy Bricker is going to the Maryland game. And then he's going to the Texas game in New York. But now he's like, I am starting to look at flights for Indy. So he's going to go East Coast to Maryland, back to Indy, back to New York, back to Chicago in the span of a nice week.
They should do like a charity thing where you can just like hop with Whitman on his private jet for like, you get one weekend of your choosing, whether it's like Vegas weekend or like possibly Indy weekend, and you just get to go to whatever games we play and wherever he's going, you get to go with him on his private
jet. Yeah, so that's like the highest level of the iFund.
Well, if you're on the highest level, you probably just afford a private jet or just, you're not even
Yeah, that's also true.
You just buy tickets.
You
right?
get to be with Whitman. You get to be with Whitman.
Yeah.
On his jet.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'd be like, so Whitman, let's talk a little bit more about that wrestling facility, okay? Like, like you're on an
It's a standalone. It's a standalone, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming from donors. So let's talk, because obviously non-conference is what's facing us dead in the eye here. Like, let's talk about like what we're looking for in non-conference. Like, if you pick one matchup, and I think it's some of them obviously stick out, but like, what's the one matchup in non-conference that you guys are most looking forward to? And it's hard on Vegas.
I feel like it's UCLA, a current non-conference game, future conference game.
True.
But it's going to be very interesting matching up against this team. I mean, we know a lot of guys on that team.
Yeah.
Tiger Campbell, yeah. Jaime Jaquez, they've been to the Final
Is
Four.
Juzang's in the
episode. Juzang's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
But still a lot
Is
of other
Mac
guys.
Is Mac still on the team?
Who?
Mac.
Oh, Mac Etienne. I don't.
He tore his ACL, I think.
He is. This is good. This is good. Quick radio here. It looks like he's still on the team. Yeah, but he's. He tore his ACL last year.
I guess so. He missed the entire last season. So we'll see if he's fully healthy. I think. Do they still have Miles Johnson too from Rutgers?
Oh, from Rutgers.
Actually, they don't. But they do have. Yeah, I mean, Jalen Clark. Like, they have a solid team. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
And they have two top five recruits.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Including Amari Bailey, who is from Chicago.
Mm-hmm,
but
Sierra Canyon. And they got a Vegas guy in Will McClendon. So the freshman. So
homecoming.
Yeah. So it's going to be, it's going to be fun. I know we referenced it in the Tyler episode that we will be showing our loyalty to Illinois in ways that you only can in Vegas and that you can't in the state of Illinois. So I feel like it's hard to not be most, especially us, if you're going to Vegas, like hit us up. It's hard to not be excited for that game. I know it's so far from now, but I feel like let's not, because we have a star-studded non-con, but like let's not forget about bragging rights. Like Mizzou is going to be an improved team this year. That bragging rights game might be a little tighter than it was last year. Let's not forget
100%.
Let's not forget about bragging rights.
This is not a gimme game by any means.
No, no.
And they have a new coach now, and you just want to. That's always just a can't lose game. You know, I don't even know if it's a must win. It's just you never want to lose that game.
No. That's right, Dennis Gates. He came over from
Cleveland State.
Okay.
And he's recruiting really well. But that doesn't impact this year's game.
Just like Drinkwitz?
Yeah, just like Drinkwitz.
I mean, in a quick look over their roster, I mean, they do not have a ton of returning talent. Kobe Brown has been, he's a senior now, but other than that, I don't think they return a ton of talent. But they, like you said, Josh, they have been recruiting pretty well. So I know that's, how many months is that from now? That's December, that's, 62 days from now or so. But let's not overlook that, and then Bethune-Cookman a week later to wrap up non-conference play before we get into conference play in 2023. So I guess other things we're looking forward to in non-con. I mean, it's a fun non-conference schedule. I know that we were like a little bit disappointed to draw Syracuse in Big Ten ACC, but I feel like we might be looking back on it, being like, all right, our schedule's pretty absurd. Like maybe we'll take.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's gonna be probably the biggest. That's gonna be the first biggest game of the season, like on the home floor. Like I feel like that's where Orange Crush is going to have to come alive and just make sure that the freshmen know exactly what they're doing, because like going into it, because it's gonna be a big. We're gonna need home floor for that game, even though they're not like highly ranked this year. They're in the 50s on KenPom and not like supposed to do that well in the ACC, but. Got to make sure. I also want to just bring up one off-season storyline is my campaign against the Department of Athletics ticket office and how I don't like the seating aspect of Orange Crush. I know you guys barely listened to me while I was complaining or
we
being annoying about it.
Did you say something? Sorry. Did you guys use something?
Yeah, so Syracuse is difficult too because
I know,
they
but they're
play
like top
the
50 Ken Pop.
No,
right.
Play the zone,
yeah, they do
which,
play the
like,
zone.
Oh, yeah, so you guys
like,
are annoying me.
It's
ignoring
little,
me.
It's
right,
a little
yeah.
difficult.
No one
like,
cares.
And I mean, Linden.
The tournament,
you know,
like they do it year over
Lindenwood
year.
Lindenwood does some things offensively.
Yeah. So keep going, Josh.
No, it's okay. But I feel like our Orange Crush atmosphere could be better. I put up some stats for like middle in the pack, a number of like seats available, like percentage wise, in the student section in, versus the whole stadium. And I just would love I would love Orange Crush to have a season where they become very impactful, and especially with all these new players, they need to like ride their guys where it's impactful, where they eventually get more seats. It's probably not related whatsoever by like the impacts that Orange Crush has versus like getting more seats, but that's what I'm.
So what's your point?
Year. I don't really know if
so
I have one, but
the
give more seats.
The season
tickets
sold
seats,
out in 5 minutes.
More,
I get it.
Yeah, 5 minutes, but there should be like more seats available. It's not that.
Where are you
like,
putting them?
Sell out no matter what.
Where are you putting them? Outside on the
behind,
roof?
Behind the basket. Behind the basket.
There's where
the other basket.
So you're saying like kind of
next
where those,
up until where the like band is.
Those are two separate issues. I think you're also talking about. You said Orange Crush needs to be better. I think. Are you talking about being rowdier? Because I mean, that's always something I tried to
being rowdier
a little bit when I was in college. Was you know
we were
getting
always
a little bit meaner than you know. I definitely said some things, and some of the kids next to me would like give me a stare. I'm like, come on.
No, I mean there were literally kids who were just kind of like quiet watching the game, and like if you really want to have a home court advantage, you got to be loud for 40 minutes. You got to be jumping up and down, and that's something that we kind of lost in just the transition of Illinois being bad to good, and especially with COVID too. When you start being good, then it's just like it's not quite as smooth as it was before, and it's tough to compare to the old Assembly Hall with the way that the architecture was set up. The fans were literally like on the floor, so it's a little different. But I think we are all in agreement that like the stadium could be louder, Orange Crush could be louder, and maybe it's because there aren't enough of them, or maybe it's just because they're not placed in the right area, or
maybe it's just that we're 26-year-olds and we're just complaining about kids younger because we thought we were good back in the day.
No,
I don't know.
The thing is, we thought we were bad back in the day. We were never like, oh, right, we have a great student section. We were always kind of like, we need more people to be loud and people.
There's too much just standing crossing arms.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the exact image
they
I have.
They were solid last year, I feel like.
No. Or when we were there. When we were there, it was a lot of crossed arms. And my hope is that as games, like people value their Orange Crush seats more now than they did when we were there, because we would show up 10 minutes before the game.
For a conference
like,
game.
Yes.
For a conference
like
game.
A couple rows back. Now, for certain games, you're waiting hours and hours on end, and you hope that people, because they were waiting so long, are like, wow, I really got to like give it my all here.
Orange Crush is not a spectator sport. But no, Josh, I do think you had an impact because don't they have, is it the Alabama A&M game? That's the like orange, quote, Orange Crush, like, alumni game or whatever, where you can buy the seats to Orange Crush. They're doing something new this year that I feel like we were upset about that they changed.
For that Alabama A&M game, you're doing like alumni get to be in the Orange Crush, like you said, but I'm trying to think what you're coming up with. There was another thing we changed like a home game, like a non-Orange Crush game to an Orange Crush game, like because they usually take away Orange Crush tickets over winter break.
Yeah.
But now that game does matter because it was during finals, which I remember going to games during finals. Like that's been a thing.
Yes. So for those of you who said that we haven't contributed at all positively to the Illinois basketball space, think again.
Yeah, basically someone in the Illini ticket office was like, God damn it,
these annoying kids are so annoying. I mean, hey, let me shout out credit to Johnny and Josh here for a second because these annoying kids, you two are responsible for like 99% of our tweets. We just passed 4,000 followers. Which was pretty awesome. You guys, I mean, during the bye week, these last couple weeks, you guys have had some absolute ragers of some tweets, some really good tweets. Oh, I'm just looking at our Twitter now. One really good one here is how you guys retweeted the promo code Boardroom here for the tickets. That's a really good one. Tommy DeVito video. There's a good one. There's a lot of good ones. So shout out to you guys for for following us, and shout out to you two for tweeting, because the tweets are going good. Tweets are going really well. Oh, the how it started, how it's going between Gross and Beckman to Brad and Bielema. Some good tweets, guys. Oh, well, look at this. Another promo code Boardroom tweet there.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I mean, but in all seriousness,
we enjoy fucking around.
So yeah. Yeah. Good. So here's to the next 4,009 followers.
Likes to meme with us. But yeah, I mean, any other like big Illinois basketball things we want to chat about?
Recruiting wise, do we want to mention that we lost one of our
brothers,
one of our brothers. I was wondering what word I was going to say there, but looks like ZZ did not want to have any ZZs in Champaign, but it's fine. Was that bad? That was pretty bad.
He won't be sleeping in Champaign.
He won't be. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So like if he comes to go watch Sky play at all, he's still taking the jet out.
Yeah, must be awake at all times. yeah, I mean, this is where I'm going to be like, I trust the staff. I'm just going to drop that line here. And I don't know. I don't really know if I'm not going to comment on a kid decommitting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you hope it doesn't affect the current roster with Sky. I'm sure it's probably just he's not really thinking about it too much. And the good news is we also got a positive commitment from Dre Gibbs LaHorn, or is it Draw Gibbs LaHorn? I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
We got dragged last time we messed up a phonetic pronunciation with Matt Myers.
Spelled so Draw, but can we just call him DGL?
DGL.
Like the UGL, but DGL.
DGL. That's good. That's good.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's roster, actually, it's the undergraduate library, not the underground library.
Which RIP, by the way.
Yeah, RIP. True. But yeah. What were you saying, Josh?
Oh, no, just recruiting has been going like Maddie said it, trust the staff, but recruiting's going great. I mean, I guess we start losing games with, then we can't trust the staff. Like, even if we don't recruit like the top five classes in the Big Ten year after year, then I'm not going to be worried whatsoever. Just keep getting players to commit to Illinois that want to wear orange and blue, and we'll be happy. Amani's on the team. Just keep getting those like top 75, top 100 players, and you're going to find some great. You're going to have great finds throughout the process.
Well, I was going to say every guy that's like outside of the top 100, 150 that Illinois gets to commit is like a diamond in the rough, is a steal.
They are. They absolutely are.
Like, I just can't believe that he was ranked that low. Insert player name there, insert rating that's like 100 spots too low. Like, this was a steal. You know, come, you know, 2 years from now after an offseason with Fletch, you know, other teams are going to be quaking in their boots. Am I missing any?
Just great fit to the system.
True. I mean,
there's also like football versions of that too, where it's just like,
but yeah, like, they have power five traits.
Yes.
That's my favorite. You know, can we just really quick, if each one of us had one power five trait, what would it be? Like, Johnny, what would your power five trait be?
I would hope humor, but
how does that translate on the football field though?
That I have no idea.
Josh, do you have any power five traits these days? Is Excel a power five trait?
Wait, what'd you say?
Like Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, Excel I'm good at, but I wouldn't say it's a power five level, more of a group of five level.
Okay.
I'm a power five level, like tweeting, having tweets that have like misspells or like grammar is bad. Like, and I can't speak right now while I'm saying this. So all of that kind of stuff. Those are my power five traits. What's yours?
First one in, last one out. I prepared a lot for this podcast episode today. Watched a lot of film, you know. You can't, and that's something that you can't teach, by the way. So
it's both intangible and a power five trait.
It is just, there's something about intangible. So, you know, it's stuff that doesn't necessarily show up on the film, but, you know, translates to wins and losses in the recording studio.
I'm power five traits at like incorporating ads into just like normal conversations, because like if you just used promo code Border to get tickets.
One of these days we're gonna need to find another sponsor for this show once the weekend of November 18th comes and goes. I don't know what we're gonna plug anymore. So
if you want to sponsor us.
Oh my, we're starting to look awfully thirsty on this episode here today. Oh my goodness.
Quite a little hard to guess.
Jeez, Josh. Yeah. We're doing fine, by the way. Okay, we're fine. We're fine. But we're getting way off course here now. But we talk non-com, we talk some expectations, we even talk a little football. I mean, do you want to even just chat a little? It's hard to not feel football right now. With, you know, it it being, I mean, like 76 degrees and 6 days out of the Nebraska game, it's hard to not feel football. But we're minus five. I mean, someone lay the points for me, please, and I'll Venmo you if it doesn't hit, since we live in Illinois. But I'm minus five.
I did for the Iowa game drive to Indiana place a bet.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I did.
How long did that take you to drive?
Like 45 minutes.
Are you Josh? Did you know this?
I thought he was joking.
No, I did. I bet both on Illinois money line and 3.5. So fortunately, the money line piece of it like made it net positive. Although when we went to the Iowa game, and when they were returning that fumble that ended up going called back, man, the life flashed before my eyes there.
Okay, gas money, first of all.
Yeah.
How many units?
A decent amount of units.
Many units on money line.
I get, because it's really only like 20 something miles away from our apartment.
What the
so
fuck?
40 miles. That's like.
Oh my God, Johnny. I'm not, no, I don't know why I'm surprised. I shouldn't be surprised.
I don't think I'm surprised. He's a psychopath.
I mean, you were honest, at that point, Johnny, you're probably not far away from the Gary Casino, anyways. Why not just, you know.
Yeah, I should
play
have done that.
Play a couple hands.
That. It was a work day, so I couldn't like just hang out.
So, yeah, you only had time
to
drive.
Boys in Hammond, but
yeah,
cross the border, place a couple bets, drive back.
Oh my God,
drive
Johnny.
Down to Champaign the next day, win, come back. Maddie and I are just driving at night. The two guys are in the back seat, are passed out, and we're just like kind of. I don't know if delusional is the right word, but we were just so like confused, and we were like, "Thank God we won that game, because this would have been the most depressing car ride back ever."
My God, that would have been, because we had to get we went to sleep at like 1 a.m. we got to get up early in the morning to cheer on a couple friends in the Chicago Marathon, and so it was like a 5 hour sleep night, and so if we were driving home with a loss there, that would have been a whew. Especially with that kickoff. That thank God for Art's elbow there. I know I told this to Johnny when we were at the game, but that he smashed his elbow against Wisconsin whoever it was against when he injured his elbow. It might have been
Penn State,
which is actually 365 days ago today. He smashed his arm against Penn State, and the good karma is that same arm saved us a win against Iowa. So what goes around comes around for the Sitkowski elbow.
But yeah, it was awesome being at that game. It was awesome the next weekend. We all went to homecoming, and it's so cool to see school spirit be way higher than it was when we were students, because we're actually good at both football and basketball. I mean, it was the first time in 20 years that we've been ranked in both sports, and man, what a great time to be at Illinois. And
for real. Can we go back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might need to get like a new grad degree or something like that, just because I want to be on campus for the 20s.
Can I do like a quick like 4-year just like quick general studies degree or something that can be revoked at any moment if we go under 500 in a revenue sport?
Yes.
But it was awesome. It was awesome being down there. And maybe a couple more trips to Champaign this fall football season before a trip to Indy and Pasadena and et cetera, et cetera. Well,
I totally understand. I'm gonna bring up tickets. I totally understand, like, if you have plans like locked in, but if it's a Friday, I mean, if it's a Saturday and you have nothing planned besides, and during your Saturday, you are going to be watching for 3 hours Illinois football. Why would you not just come down to Champaign? Like, this is what you've been waiting for. What have you been waiting for as an Illini fan? Like, there's no excuses not to go to games right now. The fact that we don't sell out is embarrassing.
I mean, do you want like an honest answer?
I know your answer, because you love sitting on the couch.
Well, it's not
me
necessarily. It's not me. It's for the 15,000 people, 18,000 people that don't sell. It's like the experience of watching college football at home and sports in general is a lot better than it used to be. Hey, stuff is expensive. Actually, the tickets weren't that expensive, but like, if you got a family, you got to get the whole family down there 3 hours each way. Like, I think it's easy for us to get in the car and drive 2.5 hours each way because we love this shit more than anything else. But maybe the average big fan of college football or Illinois is not nearly as big of a fan as we are, and that's fine. I don't want to rag on people for choosing to stay home. I'm not going to do that.
All right, you don't. I will, because there's. Every other Power 5 school sells out their 80,000-100,000 person stadium every single week. So it's not just an Illinois thing.
Okay, well, the Nebraska donors buy up the tickets so they keep the sellout streak. So that doesn't really count. We're getting really off topic here. This used to be a basketball podcast, and I know that we're going to be bouncing around a lot this year because we are good at football, apparently, so that's fine, but I don't want this to evolve into a philosophical conversation about why butts aren't in seats in Memorial Stadium. It was fun as hell at the Iowa and Minnesota game.
It's so much fun.
It's going to be fun for future games that we go to. If you want to come, come on down. If you don't want to come, fine, you're going to miss out, but you know what? That's fine. You know what? That's fine. Okay?
For you. For you. Do we want to bring it back to basketball?
Yeah, anything
we
else?
Can end it. We can end it this way.
Okay.
Let's play a game of a couple questions. They were sent to me in a group chat just on what your thoughts are right now. This is supposed to be our expectation show. I feel like we're all probably going to have the same starting lineup. So just I'll have Johnny give us your prediction of the starting lineup, and then we'll say if we have any differences. And then let's do who you think the leading scorer is. The reason why we will win the Big Ten is because of X. And then I'm trying to think of one
like
more.
Like one ridiculous hot take. Oh, like an absurd dark horse take.
Perfect.
Like Chase Brown winning the Heisman. Well, actually, that's not that crazy.
Yeah.
That's not ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous at all.
Chasing history.
Yeah.
Go Fighting Illini. Okay. So starting lineup is going to be, at least at the start of the season, we're going Terrence Shannon Jr., Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins, and Sky Clark.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah. You could make the argument no Sky for someone else, yeah. I feel like, depending on injuries and depending on the accuracy of the secret scrimmage statistics. Yeah. I feel like 4 for 4, probably automatic, and maybe they might do something where they, you know, take out Sky one game and they put in Jaden.
Or they could have Dane Danger if they're playing like a true 5 Big Ten team.
Right.
And
yeah.
Want Coleman to play the 4. That's an interesting wrinkle with this team, is they do seem multiple, but we'll see how it plays out. Okay, what was your next question, Josh?
Leading scorer.
I mean, Terrence Shannon seems like the obvious candidate. Yeah.
It might be sexy to be like Coleman, you know, and you know, pundits love being like, this is the breakout year for guys like Coleman, or, you know, you see that in sports every year, the Bears examples, like, you know, Cole Kmet, whatever, yada, 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 where there's not a ton of production, but it's like, you know, there's so much potential. So I feel like the sexy answer would be like Coleman, but yeah, it's probably Terrence.
I mean, it might not be a bad thing if it ends up being RJ Melendez, though, because I feel like you kind of know what you have with both Shannon and Matthew Meyer. And if you can really, like, if RJ Melendez can really be an all Big Ten player, because we would love him to be, but he just hasn't played that much. Like, if he can be that guy, that would be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a different take than you, which is, I guess, the part of the exercise is us trying to guess, but we're not going to just have extreme hot takes on who our leading scorer is. The next one was, we win the Big Ten because of X.
More wins in conference play than the other
All right.
teams.
Thank you, King Literal.
Okay. I'll give this one, and maybe it's both my hot take and we win the Big Ten because of X. And I just think it's Ty Rogers is going to be phenomenal.
You knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm drinking Robert's Kool-Aid of, like, he started on Team USA basketball, and that's just like, those players are always incredible players. Just like looking back on the team that Io was on, it was like him and a bunch of NBA guys like Kobe White and other dudes. So I think Ty Rogers, he might come off the bench, but like be third in minutes and be able to play point guard sometimes, be able to play the 4 sometimes. And I don't know, I think he's just going to be an absolute stud, and hopefully he's here for a couple of years.
Yeah. Mine, I think the thing where I see us struggling the most is shooting like threes. Like, I don't know if we're like the strongest 3-point shooting team, and we will win the West, I'm thinking football still, win the Big Ten. If Jaden Epps is just like plays way above his ranking, I think the Ty Rogers thing is so accurate. He's going to be probably the most important freshman. But if you get like a shooter like Luke or Jaden going, and like it's, they just like a switch clicks, and they are like go-to like lockdown three-point shooter, that's the reason why. Because I think defense, we're there. We're going to be a top defensive team in the country. It's just we got to score points. And no crap. I know Maddie's going to love when I say that, but we have to have a knockdown shooter. And it's going to has either come from Luke or Jaden, I feel like. And this is also my hot take, but Jaden's going to lead our team in three-point attempts.
Yeah, we haven't really touched on Luke. He's a guy that depending on if the, you know, three freshman incoming dudes, you know, play their butts off, he's a guy that could get a little bit buried in the roster, but could play some extremely important minutes off the bench, especially and provide shooting that I don't know, right, who your best shooter is going into the year. What about Matt Meyer? He's a three-point shooter. Maybe that's kind of my hot take. Is he has more three-pointers than anyone else. That would certainly be a hot take. But what wins the Big Ten for Illinois? I feel like Brad coming into Illinois did a fantastic job. We always talk about this of changing his systems, right? Of realizing very early on, okay, the system that I'm running is not working. I got to change. And I feel like his ability to adapt this year, especially with all the roster turnover, if he's willing to make those changes, that's what will allow Illinois to win the Big Ten, is making proper changes as the season goes on, depending on who's playing and how you know the freshmen or the transfers are playing. If you make the correct adjustments midseason, then Illinois wins the Big Ten.
Let's do it. I mean, I agree with both of what you guys said there. I do think I am a little worried we don't have like a clear lockdown shooter, whether it's Plummer or even Trent, and maybe it's just because we haven't seen these guys play that much. Sky Clark is just a huge question mark, but hopefully Brad pushes the right buttons. He deserves the benefit of the doubt because he's
absolutely
year in and year out been able to get the most out of his guys. And last year we were like looking at the team and almost being like, wow, it's kind of crazy we pulled the Big Ten title out with the amount of injuries that we had and just the limited nature of the roster. So we trust in Brad. In Brad we trust.
Okay, so we won the Big Ten, so we're all in agreement on that. And then was there one
hottest take? I kind of said mine, but it was Jaden to lead the team in 3-point attempts.
Johnny, I don't know. You go for it.
I just say like Ty Rogers going to lead our team in minutes? Like,
yeah, that could be hot.
Off the bench.
Yeah, and he comes off the bench. Yeah.
You know, I said this from the start, where it's like the team could be worse, but quote unquote more fun this year, which is kind of silly because you know you measure fun in wins. But I feel like with everything that we don't know, like it's just gonna be a very fun year. So my hot take is like, maybe we don't play that well as you know I had predicted in Big Ten play, but like we're making the Sweet 16. You know, maybe we get a little bit plucky in the tournament. Someone goes off in the second round. You know, maybe we're like a fourth seed or something. Maybe we're a five seed, and it's like Sweet 16. I feel like this has got to be the year where you just make the Sweet 16. Like whatever happens in the Big Ten, fine. You know, you don't get the finish that you want in conference play, fine. You don't get the finish that you want in the conference tournament, fine. Go make the damn Sweet 16. That's my hot take.
I think we got to end on that.
Yeah, let's do it. So it's going to be fun this year, guys. So we're excited for you to come along for the journey with us. We'll certainly be podcasting along the way here as we hope it's going to be an awesome season. So join us for the next episode of The Boardroom, everyone. ILL.